My name's Sean Collier. I'm here at the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 MacGuffin's Lounge VIP area with official You Can't Handle the Truth third host, Missy Marino.
Woo woo!
Welcome back. What's the last thing you did?
Oh my gosh. It's been a minute, but it feels like I never left.
I know.
I feel like I always am feeling what I can't handle truth-wise.
Your aura settles over us even when you are not present. And this week, it's a Harry Potter sequel, spin-off, prequel, franchise, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, December... Nope, Friday, November 18th.
Please don't rush the year.
No, it's... I don't know. I could jump.
I was just going to say, never mind.
I mean, Thanksgiving is fine, but these are not... Like, winter is okay. I don't know. You know our friend Melanie Siegel?
Yes.
She's so, like... She loves nature so much that she's like, no, winter's great. It's just different. We're going to get you snow boots. And because Melanie and I walk.
Oh.
She works in the next building from me. And we go walking, and she's like, no, we're getting you snow boots, and we're going to keep doing this all the way through the winter. And it's like,
no.
I am trying to be so enthusiastic about nature, and she has made me notice how beautiful the place where we work is. But, like, at a certain point, I'm like,
stop.
I'm like,
my suggestion
I don't wanna...
go buy some tennis rackets and that,
yeah.
And get some, like, elastic cords and get real with it.
We're going to get... modified,
yes,
homemade snowshoes. We're gonna do the homemade snowshoe club.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that works? Like, if I just like,
yes,
like tennis racket, because you've done this. Tell everyone about all of your experiences snowshoeing.
The snowshoeing life is not easy, but
that's
some gorgeous divas have to do it.
Yeah,
Scaling the Hills of Munhall.
Right.
.. Name of my next novel.
Scaling the Hills of Munhall.
Yeah, the hills are alive.
Did you see what I did there? Because I did a thing that you taught me in improv class
what
yesterday.
What did I do?
I pimped you. I was like. Here, she's going to do a thing now.
Yeah, you did. Of course, I lovingly embrace being pimped out.
Yeah.
So know that.
Missy's teaching me improv, everybody.
That's true. I shall take all the credit for that. No,
yeah.
we're swapping comedy thoughts and skills, and
yeah.
It's an extravaganza.
I mean, the money only goes one way.
That's
towards
true.
Missy. But nevertheless.
The hundreds and thousands
yes.
of precious gems and jewels from the Collier Estate are in my Munhall clutches.
The point is I
jealous?
I have hired Missy as a comedy coach on various things. And you should too, listener in the Pittsburgh area.
Yes. No, it is exciting because
yeah.
you're such a brain of comedy with with
thank
analysis
you.
Obviously with the stand-up and whatnot that it's exciting. It's like, you know, when you do something for a long time, I've trained for like eight to ten years.
Yeah,
so it's like in that time you don't know that you're not like 20 anymore. I'm 29 forever anyways,
right?
Trust me, listeners. Anywho, but so you're like, oh, I did learn like a practical thing, so it's exciting to just share with you concepts, because I'm like, oh, you're going to totally get this.
Where do people go if they want to hire you to teach them things?
Why don't you go to my website at missymarino.com, and then you can message me there, and then we'll meet up and change the face of the earth.
I'm a little sad that your website is missymarino.com and not like...
Psych It's Missy?
Like Psych It's Missy, or like...
Snowshoe Bitch 2020.
Snowshoe Diva Firework Crotch. Like
slash Angel Fire
/ GeoCities, but
it was taken.
Yeah.
So,
but no,
you
I guess
work with what you
I guess you're like a professional who wants to be taken seriously when like you give someone your resume, and it should be probably be missymarino.com.
Yeah, for now until .edu finally opens up.
Right. Well, that's what I enrolled in the
right.
university of. Yeah. Let's get to it, and let's not go too far in the Lewis Stein drinking game. You know the Lewis Stein drinking game?
Which is
put on You Can't Handle the Truth and take a shot for every minute before we actually talk about the movie.
I thought it was just take pictures of everything and have a nice Jewish face.
Yes.
That's the other one.
Yeah, that's the other one. That's, yeah.
Very inside, friends. Yes.
Yeah, we're just talking about people we know this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
You can't handle our social circle. Okay, anyway.
Lots of people can't. tell me your relationship with the Harry Potter franchise.
Good call.
Before now.
Okay, so before now, my origin story is I lived in Chicago for a chunk of time with two awesome friends from Point Park. What's up, Pioneers? We moved there. Mm-hmm. And it was 07, and I was like, Oh, so the one is like super duper in love with all things British, but definitely into the fantasy nerd world of the blah, blah. So her and I were watching Lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we have that common bond. Her name is Jess. Hi, Jess. I love you. Yeah. And so we watched all those things. But I never wanted to get in on it because I was like, it's whatever. I just didn't want to join the hype. But then the last book was coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. I don't want to be spoiled whenever they're like. And then Tom Cruise did it all. I'm sure that was probably the ending or something of the likes. She had all the books, and I was like, can I borrow these? And she was, like, elated to let me do so. And I bought the final book as my, like, dessert at the end of it. So it was in, I think that was, well, whatever year that book came out. I don't remember now.
You've read all the books.
I busted out in, like, 3 months. I was like, boom, 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 I'm eating these all up.
And have you seen many of the movies?
Oh, I saw all the movies.
You've seen every... Okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm in love. I've been to Harry Potter World and, like, got...
In Florida?
Wasted on butterbeer. Yes, in Florida.
I got a butterbeer, but I think it was, like, non-alcoholic?
Yeah. I mean, wasted on, like, the sugar and the
experience of drinking the... But it was delicious.
So good. And I tried to get him to give me more butter, like foam, and they were like, we'll literally get fired if we give people extra. Rich people will be like, yo, here's $50 for more. And they're like, nope.
It's a shame that they don't have, like, a character explanation for that. Like, we can't give you more butter because that would ruin the dragons. I don't know.
Exactly.
Harry Potter things.
Yeah, what's your origin to this?
I have almost none. I never got into the books.
Oh.
Like, the closest I ever came to being into the books was, like, the day the last one came out, I went to the Wikipedia page to see if Harry Potter dies.
Wow.
Like, that's all I've ever
read. No, I have, like, a snitch on my shelf right now. That sounds very sexy.
It is. And then I didn't see the movies until I had to start reviewing them. So I probably saw the last three or four movies, maybe just the last three.
Can I share another scoop on with a friend, a mutual friend of ours, who will be all of our mutual friends?
Yeah.
So when I went to Harry Potter World, it was with Abby Fudor.
Yes.
And
past guest.
Yes. Founder of the Arcade, a creative director at the Arcade Comedy Theater.
Yeah.
Which... We'll plug them in a sec.
Yeah, we'll get to that later on.
So she is not, like, a rabid fan, but we were like, woohoo! I'm so into this, but I'm not, like, getting a tattoo yet. Anywho, so we go to Gringotts, which is where...
Yeah.
Ollivander's, where you get the wand maker.
Yeah.
He has a whole little store there. And I was with Chris Prexta and his wife as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're tiny people, like as in mid, like 5 foot.
Yeah.
So we're standing in the front. And there was like probably 60 people they shove in this room to put on like a show.
Yeah.
And Ollivander himself comes walking down a staircase. And of course he's like, there are two friends here that have been chosen to receive their wands today. And everyone's goofing. And of course it was us. We were chosen. So we were in
this show.
You were
chosen to receive your wands?
So we went through this whole thing and like did spells and shit. And we were like, what?
And, like, the two of you immediately, like shut down wonder and be like, oh, we have a show to do.
We were like, can we get a suggestion of something? Witchy mother fleep. Yeah. So then they usher you out and they're like, these wands chose you. And then everyone was, like, clapping and stuff.
Yeah.
And And so then they take us right to the gift shop, and you're like, here you go, that's $45.
Oh, so participating in the show did not earn you a free wand.
No, and guess who purchased those $45?
Of course you did. We because both now did. The wands have chosen you.
Thank
what are you going to do?
And we're
just
best friends and blah, blah, blah. Right. We were like, well, we have to.
So you've got a wand at home.
I have an official Harry Potter wand.
Well, yeah, that's cool because it's, and that's, like, that's my biggest connection is that I went there alone, a grown-ass man, deal with it. Because I want, like that's, I was in Orlando for a couple of days, and, like, it started just like, oh, I really want to go to the Simpsons stuff.
Oh, yeah.
At Universal. And, but, like.
Universal's great.
It's like, fun. It's, like, I'm sad that it doesn't have, like, I remember going there as a child, and it was, like, Jaws and Back to the Future.
I
and
know.
Earthquake and King Kong, and none of that's there. But, it's great. And, like, and I went from, like, having a beer at Moe's. Having a duff at Moe's to,
yes.
like, okay, I've kind of done the Springfield thing. I guess I'll go to Harry Potter World now.
Did you go on the Hogwarts ride?
The train
the
that
coaster?
Goes from...
No, I didn't see. I was there before that train came out.
I didn't
I
ride
that.
Yeah,
so
like, I rode the one that's in Gringotts Bank, and then I rode...
See? Nope, I didn't get to do that
And
yet.
Then I rode the other one
Damn
that's,
it.
Like... Yeah, it's like a hanging coaster, and like it's all just like mostly screens in front
yes,
of you.
Yes, and you're in Hogwarts.
Yes,
I
did that. I did that twice because it was the end of the day, and I was like, "That was good. I'll do that again."
I think that was one of my best rides I've ever been on.
Yeah,
that might be being extreme to you. I don't. I'm curious if you think that's
no. It. I thought it was no. I thought
so
it was
far.
Fantastic, and like okay, so this sort of segues into this movie,
good.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Like going there and being in. It's such an immersive experience that I have no frame of reference. I don't know what is happening around me. I don't know what this story is. I don't know what the, you know. But, like, you can feel that it is this insanely full, detailed world.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, I like the Hunger Games. I've read the Hunger Games. But, like, there's no point in the Hunger Games where you, like, find out about shops and, like, there's lists
yes.
of, you know, it's there's just so much detail in it that it's enchanting, because wizards.
Thank you, yes.
But, so, like, the idea of, like, okay, we're done turning the books into movies, let's just do some other stuff in this universe, that works for me, even though it's not my jam.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Don't you think?
Yeah, in my head I was just going to say my first philosophical sentence of the day is that it's like she is a modern-day Tolkien, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, because...
In terms of building the world.
Building the world, you give a crap about every storefront, about every little thing, and it's like outrageous. And like, and it lends itself to the same love affair with your Star Wars.
Right.
Your Star Treks. All of these universes in which people can... Yes. And you find yourself in love with the language, in love with the origin stories, the blah, 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 blah. It's all this great kind of fantasy. I would say that's not my appeal with Star Trek, per se, but it's the thing with all the others. It's like, wow, this is a fully realized, fleshed-out place, and it's, like, super exciting. And this movie does not fail with that at all. And I hope people... really like it. It was such an exciting,
yeah,
fun thing, and it was like, I guess it's interesting because now the Star Wars are doing the same thing where we're seeing these prequels situations that set up to the future of what we already know and love. They did a good job,
right? Oh. Well, that's see.
Oh wait, my bad.
See my picture of Hogwarts there.
Ooh,
that's
very good.
I just started pulling up.
I actually just realized
anyway.
I messed up. That. I love that this is prequel, whereas George failed with the prequels. I
yes.
was saying that I like the proquels. That's a word now.
Proquels. By the way, if you heard to your background music, a bunch of people are hanging out near the podcast for no
yes.
apparent reason. Sorry about that. But I have to disagree. I have to call out, sell out, and then diss our
Ooh.
Absent co-host Aaron Kleiber,
Yay.
Who like. I was telling him last night, no, we gotta do Fantastic Beasts and ba 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 ba.
No, what's
and
the title of it?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Which is a dating app I used to be on.
Oh!
Boom! I've been sitting on that one
for
a while.
For
minutes now.
Okay, that's good.
Thanks.
He was like, this, no, you can't make more Harry Potter. It's not Star Wars. It's, you gotta let that one go. And I don't care, so when he was complaining about it, I was like, I don't know, sure. But, like, having seen this movie, it's like, no, this is actually a really good thing to do. We can tell stories in this universe forever.
Yes.
Because it is so detailed, and, like, it's... There's a lot of source material. How many pages is that series? Plus, like, other stuff that she's written over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there's plenty to work with.
So,
like,
much to work with. And it's already, we know it's won the hearts of people due to the fact that you do love those characters. So, that's where her groundwork was laid in.
Yeah.
Like, I love Dumbledore. So, I was the geek. Not like a hardcore geek, but I was geeking out when he was brought up in this movie. Just the name, and I'm like...
Yeah, like, no, that's not a spoiler. Like, literally someone says Dumbledore.
Yeah, obviously that's going to be. And it wasn't like the prequel where it's like, look, that character that you're just getting to know that we know who he is later, he built that thing you love.
No,
like,
no.
So it wasn't that, like, heavy-handed and annoying that the prequels were with Star Wars. It was like...
And
not
I
that at all.
Again, we apologize for the sound. I really love... The aspect of this that I really love is the fact that it's like a variation of the world we live in.
Yeah.
That you know, and that's just from having seen a few of the movies, that it's not Lord of the Rings in, like, an entire fantasy world.
That's a good point.
It's you know... And what's interesting about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is that now... It's in America for the first time, and it's a period piece, because this is set in the 20s,
right?
Which is really, like, a cool way of dressing it up.
Yeah, it was, I agree with you wholeheartedly, like, it's, that's what makes it stand out in a fun way, is the fact that it's interjected into reality, too.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting to see how they work with that. Yeah, I loved the setting. I think we all are fascinated with that period anyways, and, you know... That was me swooping you all into my best friend circle.
Right.
So we all love the 20s, you guys.
Who doesn't love the 20s yet?
It was just like trench coats and old cars and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it worked well, and they didn't... It seemed appropriate.
Yes.
And it was nice having the integration of... Obviously, there's like the British world and American world are colliding or...
Yeah.
So you didn't lose that charm of the British language or just that...
Right.
Whatever, that connection to it. So, yeah, it was a nice... If anything, it's almost like a nice nod of, like, hello, Americans, we know you love this.
Right.
Just as much as it was, like, a fun sharing thing. So I
thought
that was cool.
No, I totally agree. And also really cool to see that there's some people you recognize in the cast.
Yes.
But more than that, the cast is, like, bringing up... Is, like, launching careers. Which absolutely don't have to do. You know, Eddie Redmayne is the lead. And
he's so adorable.
I've turned around so hard on him because I hated... This is a long-standing thing on the podcast. I think...
Okay.
I think Theory of Everything is awful and he's terrible.
I did not see it.
And that's the one he won the Oscar for.
Oh, gotcha.
Which...
Okay, I'm a musical theater nerd, so I've loved him in Les Mis.
Yeah, which was fine. Maurice. And then he was really bad in that Jupiter Ascending, but, like, there was nothing to be done with that. But then he was so good in The Danish Girl. Like, unbelievably good in The Danish Girl. And he was great in this.
I also geek out further with musical theater?
Yes.
So Dan Fogler
is
a Tony Award winner. He's the audience member person. It's like, what's this? What's that? Like, the guy that gets... swept up in it. And he's so wonderful. Not overplayed. Nice, simple comedy. Nice, honest, great reactions. He was just so awesome. He originated a role in this 25th annual Putnam Spelling Bee, which is a hysterical show, and I just absolutely love him. And it took me a while to recognize him. If you like Balls of Fury, that ping pong game with movie with Christopher Walken is the bad guy, and he's in it. So he's really funny, and that you will love so much.
He was great, and that's someone who, like, has had a little bit of a career, but doesn't have...
Yes.
It's just so, like, they could have got someone super famous in any of these roles. Catherine Waterston, who was in Inherent Vice and has been in a couple of things, but, you know, is not a household name. Like, basically, the four leads are Eddie Redmayne, and then these three people that you do not know their names, really, Catherine Waterston, Dan Fogler, and Allison Sudol, who was also really charming and funny and a lot of fun. There are, like, small parts for John Voight and Ron Perlman, and Colin Farrell has a pretty big part. Ezra Miller, who, you know, if you love Perks of Being a Wallflower, like we all do.
Oh, yes,
but,
yes.
I really like that they filled this movie with people who are like, here, have a career now, because we're going to put you in front of hundreds of millions of dollars of box office this weekend.
Which is also a nod, I think, to the original franchise, where those kids grew up into it, obviously. And but all the adults, besides your quick Helena Bonham Carter or other little things, Snape. What's that dude's name again? We love him.
The late Alan Rickman?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Sorry, yeah. Snape. Anyways. He was, like, the big name. But otherwise, a lot of, new people. Or people unknown to mainstream. And I'm like, yeah, that's exciting. And that's my other thought, why I think the Star Wars did well.
Yeah. Especially now.
It's like then it helps you believe the story. It suspends that disbelief more when you're not like, look what Julia Roberts is doing with the lightsaber. Hee-hee. You're, like, invested in the story. So I think that's wise storytelling-wise. And you're right. Actors then are, like, making bank for eternity.
Right. How do you feel about Rogue One? Let's just completely divert for a minute here. Because we've never really talked about it much on the show.
True.
And you were on, of course, the Force Awakens spectacular
episode. I was. I'm so excited about it. I've seen a few trailers. I think I'm super in the camp of open-heartedness. I don't have any...
Yeah.
I'm like the non-Kliber of the thing. Our only equivalent is we're both sassy and from Munhall.
Yeah.
But my sassy's different. So let me be him for a minute.
Sometimes. Okay, go ahead.
You know what? Rogue One, they better be rogue, because they trying to come at me, they trying to get me to buy a keychain. Let me see the movie first, because you know little Becca the Professor is going to be like, Daddy, give me a cloak and whatnot. Anyways.
That was very accurate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But
it's like he's here. It's like, I'm just going to interview.
Look at my cool Jordans.
Aaron, tell me about your friend Missy Marino.
Oh, she's so beautiful, and her bank account's full.
Right.
All important things. But no, I'm excited about Rogue One and anything they have to give, especially with what came out. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I also think this is absolutely going to be the test. So Force Awakens was going to be great because there was so much writing on it that there was no chance they were going to let that go down. And it was. It's a sequel to Return of the Jedi, so there's a lot of momentum going into that. This is, can we really spin off the main thing, right? Because this is a side quest.
Side quest that ties into a main thing.
Right.
I'm excited to see characters that are in that world that aren't with the Skywalkers and aren't Solos and blah, 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 blah. Like, are there other... It'd be the equivalent of, like, I want to see aliens land on Earth. Because I'm like, there's got to be other beings in this big old universe.
Right. And that's...
Please all look like Tom Selleck. Fingers crossed.
You're still holding on to Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
that's... I just think that this is, like... If Rogue One is great... Every Star Wars movie ever will be great. And bringing it back around to the point, do I kind of want to see a Star Wars movie every year now? One, yes.
One.
Do I, am I down seeing 2.5 to 3 Marvel movies every year? They've got me there. Harry Potter is something that, no, I want that to be every, 3 or 4 years they can do another thing. If it starts to be every 6 months, there's a Harry Potter official universe... project. Let's see what happens.
Also, the parents will be like, enough, because then they have to buy all these damn toys and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. This is going to sell some creatures.
That's what I was going to say. In my head, because I'm a product of 80s upbringing, was like, oh, shit, they're going to have to sit here and make this little thing, this little flying thing, and this little crawling thing. In my head, I was literally half thinking about the merchandising that's going to go behind this. How much that'll take off.
Well, they know what they're doing. I mean, this is 5 weeks before Christmas, and they just introduced 17 adorable things.
So, P.S., they're adorable.
Yeah, they're adorable. The beasts in question are adorable.
They are quite fantastic and fabulous.
Yeah.
John, I've been watching a ton of RuPaul's Drag Race
to
get through this past politically tumultuous week.
Sure, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, know that the drag queens will save the day. So this felt like these were also fantastical beasts, and I want to own all of those as well.
The drag queens?
Both.
Okay.
I want a line of both products.
You want a line of fantastic drag queens and where to
find them, honey, and where to beast them. Twin size bed, bitches. I should upgrade. Anyways.
Yes. On that note, we'll take a break, but not before I tell you about Goods and Evil. This is, look, you know, you need to up your t-shirt game, son. I've seen you in that Steelers, like, not like, I don't want to say who, but a good friend of both of ours was at Arcade last night in a jersey t-shirt, okay?
Okay.
In like, you know, it's a t-shirt, but it's got a number and a name on the back. Like, no. Nobody. You need to upgrade your whatever you're into, as long as it's movies or nerd stuff or veganism or a couple other things. Goods and Evil has your back. Go to goodsandevil.com if you like Friday the 13th, if you like Evil Dead, if you like Jaws, if you like The Thing. There's a great The Thing t-shirt. Tons of good stuff. And you will get some money off if you use the offer code HANDLE. That's the middle word, and you can't handle the truth. Go to goodsandevil.com and get a better t-shirt than our friend who has the jersey. Like that's just cheap. You just look like a cheap guy.
Come on, honey. You wear one of those Good and Evil shirts, and that room will be so hot. It will get severe up in here when you rock some of those threads, sugar child. Anyways, that's my RuPaul stuff.
Goods and Evil, severe up in here. We'll be back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey guys, this is Marta from Marta on the Move. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. When you're done with this one, you should go check out mine on www.martaonthemove.com. On the Epicast Network, you can find me on Twitter at @ICan'tFindMarta. If you like interesting people and places in Pittsburgh, food and drink, travel advice, and general nerdery, check it out and keep it moving.
And we're back. So, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Missy got here late.
I did. Only by 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was reasonable. But it was okay because you're teaching the youth.
I'm teaching kids.
And you did a mannequin challenge video today.
We did.
Which I saw and I was like, maybe you could have skipped the mannequin challenge and cut out a class early, Missy. But no, then the parents are mad because they got to pick the
kids
up.
Yes, the kids aren't relevant. Yeah.
Right.
We want to keep them on top of all internet
things. And you just poured a few ice buckets on their heads for good measure. Did you do that at the time?
I did do that.
It was way more shocking a sensation than I anticipated.
It was very surprising.
How cold it's going to be.
Well, I don't know if mine was as icy as it could have been, but truth be told, I have a weird fetish fantasy life that no one truly knows about, but you will, Sean, in the privacy of our podcast conversation.
Right.
I love being thrown into pools fully clothed. I love walking by and I want someone to shove me in. It's like a major thing of mine.
Like, I don't want to get intimate, but like, do you mean fetish? Like, this is
maybe,
like,
I'm going to call it that because it's the feeling that it gives me. I assume it's the same as when men burrow their faces into big female toes or whatever.
Big toes? That big toe fetish.
Just the big toe fetish.
Right. The people are...
they're like used Kleenex
fetish. They're the hipsters of the foot fetishists. It's like, oh, you're into the whole foot? No, man.
Just that big
toe. Just the big toe. That's interesting. So, like, if you're near a pool, you're waiting for someone to push you in.
Yes, I get a fuzzy feeling below the belt of dreams, hoping that I will be satiated with this thirst for throw me in that pool fully clothed.
So people.
And then flap around and be like, can you guys believe I'm in here fully clothed? And make a big deal about it. And then wring out my shirt really dramatically.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever see Missy Marino near a body of water.
Yes.
And you don't have to know her.
Nope.
Just that probably adds a little kick to it. A stranger has thrust me into this pool. River? Will you take a river?
Oh, yeah. Throw me in.
All right.
Because I can swim. I mean, it'll be tough if I have, like, really cool shoes on that then, like, my cement shoes.
Like, you have to...
I don't want to go to the bottom of the Mon.
You swim. I was about to say, yeah, you swim with the fishes, which is not the phrase at all. No. I meant sleep with the fishes. True. Swim with the fishes is just swim.
And like an occupation.
Right, right.
That you can apply for.
Anyway, what's the point? Missy got here late. And, and so you missed the trailers. So let me, which there aren't usually trailers at a...
Yeah, I was shocked. Oh, that's
it doesn't happen that often. Let me talk to the folks at Marvel for a minute here.
Okay.
Marvel, you guys done fucked up by not getting the first female superhero movie into theaters. Because we saw a trailer for... I saw a trailer for Wonder Woman. And she is great. The time period is interesting. But even on the trailer, doesn't look good.
Okay.
It doesn't.
I was assuming that. Yeah. But.
It looks like like all the DC movies, too serious and a little bit like you know, convoluted plot wise and up its own ass and just like it doesn't look fun. Like you know how you see every Marvel trailer and it's like that looks like a lot of fun, and DC movies are like.
Right. Time to, like, crunch down on the balls of joy.
Right. Crunching down on the balls of
joy. Which is another dating app I love.
Name of my memoir.
Sorry, I stole... That's interesting that you named it after the dating app I'm unsuccessful on.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah, and, I'm in there seeing this, like, maybe it'll surprise. Like, I'm one of the people who actually liked Suicide Squad. I thought that was fine. But, maybe it'll be a surprise, but let's assume for a minute that it's mediocre. Let's not even say it's a failure, let's say it's mediocre. Well, then, the first, you know, female-led superhero movie of the new era, like, let's not count Catwoman, like, the first of the, you know, universe era of movies is gonna be this mediocre thing that, like, lots of fans are like, nah, blah, meh, and then that's gonna get attached to all... lady superhero movies.
Yeah.
That's going to be... So, Marvel, like, really, really probably should have, like, thrown together that Black Widow movie...
Yes, I was just going to say.
3 or 4 years ago just to do it.
Especially because that is a trend right now, which hopefully will be not... In time will not be a trend and just, like, another option in storytelling. Like, a trend of... Let's see, women do it now. It sucks that we're still at the point where we have to be like, see?
Yeah.
And that seems so special. So maybe it'll be, no, it will become balanced at some point down the line.
Yeah.
But you're right. The fact that we're in a state of, that's when what people are cashing in on. With the Katniss, that started the trend really well.
Right.
Not that this hasn't been a thing in the past. And funny enough, the Wonder Woman series definitely capitalized on that Batman camp.
Right.
Of the 60s, this was the 70s, though. But, I mean, she was definitely gorgeous as balls, and her weapons are very simple. And so it's more about beauty and not, like, total badassery. Right. Although in that show, I love that she can just spin.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. But it's like, which I will now force a segue here.
Okay.
Which reminds me, of, I thought the bad guy in this. The actual villain, not like any other blah, 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 blah.
So, in Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts was one of the most scariest, coolest. The effects in this movie were like, fuck, can I say the F word?
No, I already have.
Fucking crazy. I'm like, this is why computer graphics rule. Like, CG was used.
It finally got there. I mean, that's what we were talking about with Doctor Strange. It's like, finally good enough that, like, it just works.
Yeah, it
which
just
is
works.
Nice.
Some of the Beasts,
yeah, some of them look a little
silly. I was like, all right, that does not look like you're holding that, but okay, whatevs. We can't actually create beasts. But I thought the thing that was, like, the major bad guy, which I'm not spoiling, was not...
It worked.
Yeah, because it was fantastical in itself as well. And it was actually, just like how I thought the Dementors were straight up scary, I'm like, that's a scary-ass thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just like, ooh, like...
Yeah.
That reminds me of... What I love about even, like, I don't want to say Game of Thrones, but something that's like, oh, that's an actual threat that's, like, not just, like, adorable. Like, a Sarlacc snake. You're like, well, okay.
Well, and I mean, I agree, and that was good too. The only thing, and I meant to mention this earlier and just haven't yet, I have two problems with this movie, Fantastic Finds and Where to Beast Them. But sometimes you just switch words and hope people laugh.
I was sleeping. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm awake now.
Okay, the plot isn't great.
Yeah.
This is going to make a lot more sense to people who are immersed in this universe already than it did to me. And, like, the structure of it is a little, like, just kind of, like, it's not a beautiful three-act thing. It's kind of just a bunch of stuff happens. It's one of those plots. That's the one thing. The other thing is, she said that this movie is informed by current events.
Okay, I knew it, and I agree.
And I give her credit and for trying that, and, you know, there's a group, there's kind of like an extremist group that wants to get rid of anyone with magic that, like, is very, like, thinly veiled, like, alt-right racists, and there's some politicians that are, you know, Trumpy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she wants to do that, but, like, in her first screenplay, and probably in her first time when she's writing where that's really consciously in her mind, it is just really heavy-handed. The messages are fine, like, what she's saying is fine, but the way she's saying it is just, like, really beat you over the head.
Some of the dialogue was heavy-handed in a way that I just looked at you and rolled my eyes. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, there is literally a thing, can I say it? I'm going to.
Okay.
Where it's like, because it's a thing that happened in these types of movies, like, humans are bad, and it's like, all right. Because wizards versus humans, muggles.
Oh, no, it's a dramatic line. It's like,
so it's just like,
they're loose with the most dangerous creature on Earth. Humans. And it's correct.
It's like, there's been so many.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so annoyingly archaic. And, and I pretty much, because I didn't even totally get that that was the evil in this movie, to be honest. Like, it didn't feel like. It was more an internal wizard thing that we're dealing with. It's like, okay, cool, on that weird ass, throw that in there. Meanwhile, the guy who was the muggle is their friend. And so it's, if anything, it's like, why don't you, like, I guess I have to think for one second. I am definitely someone, this is where I do miss a Clibber, because I will be sucked up in, like, the bells and whistles and wings and nut sacks. That's just me throwing out the fact that I love wieners. Anyway.
Yeah.
Again, RuPaul's.
You get one in on every show.
But it's like, so I will be blinded by that fun fantasy, the fantastic aspect of things. And when that creeps up, I just forgive it and move on. But since we're here to review things, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
How can we tell stories without going that heavy into it? Because if you think of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But is it possible? I mean, is it possible to truly create art with dynamic and it not reflect the time in which you're being influenced?
I just think you dial it back a little bit more than that. Like, unless your whole goal is to, like, unless the whole movie is this really one-to-one parable for what's going on right now. If you're like, I want to influence this and, like, leave me, like, Zootopia did this really well.
Zootopia
is about Black Lives Matter.
Yes,
but,
totally.
Like, it's not, like, you know, just the most literal representation you can think of. Like, it's thematic, right?
When do you think she wrote this? Because
I think over the past, you know, I mean, it had to be done a year ago.
I would love to, like, follow that timeline and see when was this actually shot and blah, 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 blah. Because obviously we didn't know the outcome that happened when this was made. And whatnot.
Well,
so,
but that was in the midst, you know, she's British, so that was probably being wrapped up in the midst of Brexit and
all of the
discrimination against immigrants that's going on in over there.
Yeah, that's
so
very
that's you know, England's looking at us right now like, yeah, we've been going through.
Remember
this.
Remember that time you guys were hashtag laughing at us? Cool.
Yeah, we'll show you. But a little heavy-handed in the story.
And also some melodrama, which, again, I'm of the dramatic effect, so I'm like, but it was a little, like, okay. Like, there was a kiss moment that was no spoilers on who or whatever. But, and I actually almost turned to you during the movie and said, oh, I'm glad they didn't. And then they did. Because I'm like, this is a kid's movie. I would rather you hint at it.
Yeah.
The romance or the liking. Like, I...
Well, you gotta build. Like, that's why in the original series, like, that moment where...
Harry gets his first kiss.
No, Hermione and fucking Redhead.
Ron.
Where, like, they finally, like, throw themselves together and it's and like crazy instant makeout is like really effective because like
it's been five movies.
Yeah. So like to have this one immediately go like here's who the couples are in this chain of movies is like no, let us want it for a little while.
Yeah, and it's like let's stick to the fantasy part of it. Like the reason the true reason everyone has a job in this journey. Like I mean, and it's different because with the Han and Leia type of thing. Mm-hmm. I love how I will only reference Star Wars and things.
Right.
Because it's in the same world of, like, these are things made up. I also... I love Star Wars because I love the archetypical storylines. Mm-hmm. Like, I love seeing, you know, the crazy princess or the royalty do this, blah, blah, blah. But these... This is not that type of structure where it's not, like, Joseph Campbell Greek mythology based. It's this new inventive thing. And these... People just, I don't even care that they do like each other, and that's fine. But I'm like, let's remember this is probably for kids or teenagers. We don't need to see old people.
Is it? No. I mean, I feel like at this point, it's like the target audience for this is like 25.
I guess
because,
that's
like, it's people who grew up right in the wheelhouse.
That's probably true.
You know? I mean, like, this was a little scary for, like, I mean, I wouldn't take anyone younger than their teenage years. If I can step in, if I can be Cliver for a minute, like,
I would say teenage.
I'm not taking Becca to see this.
Well,
if
she's
I'm
not
married.
A teenager.
Right.
She's like 8. So I would take 13 and up for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, but Maddie Nolan will eat this up, and this is like up her alley all day long.
Speaking of which, look at that transition.
Thank you.
She's the child of two co-founders of Arcade Comedy Theater. We have to get out of here soon, but before we do. Wait, before that thing I transitioned, look, I ruined the segue. Briefly, because I should have mentioned it earlier. Hey, Missy, you know what's hard?
What's hard, Sean?
Making a podcast. But you know who makes it easy?
Who?
The Epicast Network. Go to epicastnetwork.com/services. If you're thinking about starting your own podcast, if you have already started a podcast but are starting to like feel the grind of working out the hosting and the editing every week, if you need audio production for events, if you need photography for events, there's a lot they can do for you if you're a creative person looking to do more with your content and with your ideas. So go to epicastnetwork.com/services and tell them that You Can't Handle the Truth sent you. There, I got it done.
That's great. You can't handle this segue.
You casually mentioned someone that no listener knows who they are, and I explained it to segue to. Before we get out of here, we have to congratulate our family, really.
Yes, our community, our comedy community in Pittsburgh, one of the most increasingly growing community spots is the Arcade Comedy Theater.
You're wearing a t-shirt right now.
I am wearing a t-shirt. I feel like I have been a wardrobe of it for the past week. And last night, Sunday night, was a bonus night of information.
Yes.
Why don't you unveil what that info is, Sean?
Well, since this is coming out Friday, I feel like most people who care know. But if you don't, and if you're a listener who's been there once or twice, maybe has seen a stand-up Get Down, maybe has seen Baby Grand.
Yeah.
Segue.
We're doing, like, what's it called? Like, very in-depth segues, meta segues now. We're segueing inside of segues.
So the point is, Arcade has spent 4 years at a space on Liberty Avenue that we all love and you know, was very... worked well to grow a business, but they have outgrown it, and in really an amazing partnership with the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, they're moving into they're getting a full building.
Custom built.
That is being custom built for them. They're gutting an old building downtown Pittsburgh and turning it into three stories.
Yes.
With two stages, both stages seat more than the space they have now. Mm-hmm. It's going to have teaching space. It's going to, this is going to be...
An elevator, so it's all fully
accessible. Yeah. This is going to be such a hub for comedy. Not just like... This is cool for Pittsburgh. Like, this is cool for anywhere.
This is cool for comedy in America, absolutely. Yeah. And it's exciting because it's still on Liberty Avenue. It's just two blocks down, closer towards the Westin and the convention center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's in between, it's across the street from the August Wilson Center. So we have that big, amazing space of creativity. It's right next to Bricolage Theater, one of my favorite theaters, and a friend of Arcade.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing that was announced is the fact that it will be, as we know, maybe one of the largest places of comedy that is nonprofit. So it's staying nonprofit.
Yeah,
which is exciting. They're going to be doing things to raise money to help make it custom built and fun, and their fun, exciting aesthetic of video games and arcade flavor, and making it accessible next to the Toonzeum.
Yeah.
So that will be just a fun little block. So you can go to arcadecomedytheater.org to find out about that. Or if you go to the .com page, you'll find out about shows that Sean is on, I'm on, all kinds of awesome people you want to listen to, and find the tab that you can donate, which is cool.
And if you listen to the show and you live in the Pittsburgh area, I assume you're going to Arcade. If not, they've really reached a point. Like, they're moving because they've grown so much. And that includes in quality, where there are, like, there's usually one day a weekend, if not every day, where I'm like, I could be there the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite night, that a lot of things are on regular schedules, the first Friday of every month, at 8 p.m., they do Your Life the Musical. You've been a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fully improvised musical about a person in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's two of my closest friends, Renee Rabinold and Steve Gottschalk, who've been on the show before, had that up. That's always fun. That's followed by a monthly show with the house team Warp Zone with Abby Fudor and Mike
Rubino.
Which
is an improvised team ensemble that creates scenic stories, scenic funniness, and then they have like sketch elements now in that show. So it's a hybrid of sketch and improvised comedy.
And then at midnight, again, this is all the first Friday of every month, the Justin and Jerome Experience, absolutely one of my favorite. I mean, that's my favorite sketch show in the city, right?
Yeah.
In the world, right? Because it's so great.
So great.
And that's a really nice... If you go to that show and fall out of your chair laughing, you understand comedy.
If you go
to that show and you're like, I didn't get it, you're a garbage human being.
Yeah, you like garbage and put it in your mouth and butthole.
There's different tastes, but like occasionally I'll look around at Justin and Jerome and see people going like, I don't get it. And I just think like, I don't want to know you. Because like if
that's
you don't
how it feels
get...
you like Two and a Half Men.
Right.
But whatevs. At the same time though, I don't want to be a person, this ties into this week a tiny bit, of like, I want to embrace, for the most part, I want to know what people like and why. If you just like
you're
like, dirt.
Sure.
It's like, why don't you push yourself harder to like something that's more challenging and interesting? And that puts you in that spot of empathy to, like, understand someone. And another cool thing, not to plug them like crazy, because there's a lot of great options of comedy in Pittsburgh. They've been busting their booties. And they've excelled because it's very inclusive with lots of people with their hands. And so we feel ownership of the community because it's like we're empowered.
Yeah.
But you can take classes there. And I think that has been the biggest reason it has...
Mm-hmm.
expanded is because people are learning and they're studying and training, so they're getting good, and then it's just boiling over with goodness. So you should totally get down there.
The point of this week's show: go to Universal Studios.
Thank you.
And take comedy classes.
And
ideally from Missy, but if not, just take some.
I really love that. I love it. I love it.
And I give Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them a rating of 7. 7 out of 10 is where I would go. It's if you're into this, you're going to enjoy it. It's nothing fantastic except in the title. And It's fine. It's good. It's fine.
I'd say,
And to close us out, now
I was going to give it a rating.
The beautiful vocal hip hop stylings of Missy Marino to wrap her rating and close down the show.
All right.
I can't beatbox.
Damn
you're
it.
On your
okay,
own.
Good.
You're on your own.
Boom boom boom. Oh, if you're hungry and you need a feast, I can suggest a fantastic beast. But hey there, baby, you ain't gotta hate, cause if you're a Harry Potter fan, you'll give this an 8.
That was so good. As was
John Voight.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.